Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Do you know how to calculate the exact amount you need to charge your clients in order to earn 20% profit on that project? It's simple to do if you know how. Learn how by downloading our free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, today at entrearchitect.com/freecourse. Hello, my name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise to help you build a better business so you can be a better architect. This is episode 222, and this week we're talking about the First 500 project with Tiara Hughes of the National Organization of Minority Architects. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, RCAP, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specifications, and much more at rcat.com. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work that you love. And Gusto. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. Tiara Hughes, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Yeah, it's great having you here. I learned a little bit about you, but I want to share who you are and what you do with our audience here. I'm going to start with a quote that you sent me. If there is no well to drink from, dig until you create one. I love that quote. That is a quote by you, and this is the philosophy that Tiara lives by. From currently serving on the National Board for the National Organization of Minority Architects, also known as NOMA, N-O-M-A, as the Public Relations Chair, to launching First 500, a national research endeavor focused on highlighting African-American women architects, the hard work and dedication behind this belief, basically if there's a problem, then let's create the solution for that problem, has led Tiara to serve on these roles. In addition to leadership and research, Tiara is a strong believer in giving back through volunteerism. She dedicates countless hours to mentoring Black underprivileged high school students all year round in the NAACP Act So program. Tiara equally volunteers her time to iNOMA's Project Pipeline. I assume is Illinois.
Yes.
Yep. iNOMA. So iNOMA's Project Pipeline. Every summer, iNOMA organizes a week-long camp devoted to introducing minority junior high students to the AEC construction or architecture, construction, engineering industry. And they continue their efforts throughout the year with continuous exposure to ACE through field trips and workshops. That sounds like a great program.
Yeah.
I think more we should do that in every city.
We're trying.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And as you can tell, Tiara is very passionate about architecture and youth development, and I love this. And I want to talk about today, I want to talk about First 500. I heard about it on Twitter. I was super interested, super excited about what you're doing. I love that you're taking a leadership position and saying, okay, this is something that needs to be done. Let's go do that. And I want to share with my audience what you're doing and how they can help you get there. But before we do that, we want to know about you. We want to go into your origin story. We want to know when you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and share that story to where you are today.
Thanks again, Mark. And I always laugh at my origin story because it's a little cliche. Back when I was in elementary, I was actually selected as one of the students into a gifted arts program. And every year we would do a fundraiser to create a bunch of art to raise money for whatever purpose. And one particular year I was in third grade, it was the holiday fundraiser. We had to produce a lot of art to basically buy gifts for all of the kids in the school. And the art instructor basically said, do what you want to do, do what you're good at, figure out something. And so I realized very quickly that I could draw buildings from the books pretty well. And shortly after that, I discovered blueprints, which we don't really use blueprints per se anymore.
Do you remember the smell? The smell of blueprints?
The smell, the ammonia, the ink on your fingers. Yep. Yes, all of that. And I connected the dots that I was looking at the footprint of a building. You know, the little swings were the doors and the walls. And I was so fascinated by that. And I knew from that moment on, that is what I wanted to do.
How old were you when you discovered that?
I was in the third grade.
Third grade,
Yes. And the following year, a lady actually told me, you want to be an architect. So that was the first time I heard the term, and I've clung to it ever since.
That's awesome.
And then fast forwarding forward, I continued in an arts program, and in high school, I actually was selected to go to one of a better high school in St. Louis, and it was awesome. We actually had an engineering and architecture program, and so that was my first real exposure to the courses and what it would be like. And I'd have to say, Mark, I was the only African-American student and the only woman in all of those classes, or the only female in all of those classes. And it never dawned on me that the industry would be similar. So, but I stuck with it. My professor was, or my teacher at the time, was very supportive. From there, I transitioned into Drury University, which is one of not very many schools that offer the five-year master's. And so I was able to get in there and do that. And that's in Springfield, Missouri. And when I got there, there was one other girl that looked like me. And she was actually in the graduating class. And I went up to her. I was so enthusiastic, you know, young freshman me. And I was like, you know, can you help me? Like, what advice do you have? And she was just like, I'm out of here. Good luck.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the help.
Yeah, so I was like,
that must have been pretty intimidating.
Yeah, and being the first in my entire family to go to college, it was everything was new. You know, there's no manual to how to do this, and to finally see someone who's sort of she was sort of fed up at that point. She just you know, she told me that she was finishing architecture school to prove a professor wrong that said she shouldn't do it. So I noticed that early on as a problem, at least with my small school experience. And starting there, all of the minority students that came after me, all students, period, but particularly ones that looked like me, if they were serious about the program and they were interested, I made sure I served as a resource to them.
So you changed the pattern.
I try to.
Yeah. Did you experience in school, and I know you're still on your origin story, but in school, did you experience challenges like that? Did you experience the things that that other student experienced that sort of put her in that position of wanting to just get the hell out?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was lots of, I had a lot of challenges financially with school. And it was private. It's more expensive than a public school. So there's only two schools in Missouri that offer the master's, and that's us and WashU. Mm-hmm. And WashU is much more expensive. But yes, there was several breaking points that I had where, professors would say, "Are you sure this is for you?" Right. You know, and it's different hearing that from a Charles Brown, which is an African-American adjunct professor at WashU. It'd be different hearing that from him than, you know, someone else who's saying, you know.
Right.
This isn't your calling. Right.
Are you sure you really fit here?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. You know, it's a question that always happens of, do you have my best interest at heart?
Yeah.
You know, so, but no, I stuck with it. And there were some hard times. Back to that financial key, you know, I had an entire semester at Drury where I was homeless. So, again, it was my passion for architecture that drove me and kept me there, until I got to the finish line.
What fed that passion? Why was it so important for you to achieve this?
I wanted to change the world. Yeah, I'm sure every person says that. But from the environment that I came from, you know, never owning a house, always renting and not having the readily available amenities to my demographic and my areas, you know, I wanted to get into a field where I could change that. You know, I can create community centers. I can design safe environments for people to feel comfortable at. And again, going back to that kid in me that realized I could draw buildings, not just draw buildings, but I can design solutions. You know, I can fix some of the segregation and some of the challenges that my demographic deal with.
Mm-hmm. So where are you now? So you went through school, you had a challenge in school, but you achieved school and
yes,
and got your degree. So yes. What happened after that?
A month later, in June, I moved to Chicago because I was like, oh, I have to get to where there's, you know, more diversity, right? Yeah. Need to be here in Chicago. And I ultimately felt like if there was a place for change, mm-hmm, you know, New York, Chicago, LA, those are the catalysts, you know, change starts
right
there. And
that's
then
where it starts, right?
Yep. Exactly. So, I came here and it was the same thing in the firms, you know, as far as, not seeing a lot of diversity around me. And I wasn't introduced to NOMA right away, so I was lost a little bit, and I was sort of searching for Black women architects, particularly to see how they did it and what guided them. And so I started digging. You know, I started doing research. I asked a few of my peers around me, you know, do you know any Black architects? And, you know, other architects would say, yeah, I know a few, or I know one, or there's one here. And so digging in and doing some research, I realized that of the 110 plus thousand licensed architects at that time, less than 400 of them were African American females. Wow. Did you hear me, Mark? Less than 1%.
That's shocking.
Are African American females. And so, you know, I was baffled. And not only that, it was really hard for me to find information on these ladies, you know, on a consolidated sort of reference standard somewhere.
Right. And those are the, I apologize for interrupting, but those are the ones that made it through.
Yes.
Because there are so many, so many that probably, you know, hit that barrier at architecture school and said, I'm not dealing with this. I'm going to go do something easier. I'm not going to go through all that. And so the women who did finally make it through not only architecture school, but then to get their license.
Right.
You know, it's.
And our industry is relatively young as far as licensure, mm-hmm, you know, compared to doctors and lawyers, for instance. We're so far behind, 100 years behind in that sense. So architects in general, there's not as many licensed architects as there are in the other professions. But the statistic still is that we're less than 1%, which doesn't stand in those other industries.
Were you surprised when you dug, when you dug deep and found that? You knew that it was small, but did you realize, did you think that it was that small?
No, absolutely not. Reflecting back, it caused me to do a lot of reflecting on those experiences, being the only one in my high school, being one of two at my college. I just thought I was, in the small town areas where there's not many of us, but it's definitely a reflection of the industry. It trickles down into the elementary and college education as well.
Yeah. So where did it take you next? You dug deep, found that there was less than 1%. Then what happened?
I guess simultaneously around that time was getting involved with NOMA more and more, stepping up. So locally at the iNOMA level, I was marketing director for some time. And our national NOMA president, Brian Hudson, was the person that really spearheaded connecting me with some of the references. For instance, African American Architects Directory is a resource online that lists all of the African American architects, and it divides it up by state, by male, female, so you sort of can filter and find what you need there. But again, that resource didn't tell me about these women and their stories. So that was a start. And then connecting with some other leaders in the industry, Roberta Washington, and just doing some research sort of led me, because those other leaders too, they have their own endeavors and projects going on. So I wanted to make sure someone else wasn't doing the exact same thing as First 500.
Did you know at that time that you wanted to create First 500?
I did not.
So you were just doing research to figure out. You're curious. Let's find out how many there are.
Yes. Once I discovered the number, that's when the conversation started. I was like, well, what's out there for these ladies, and where is their information stored, and is there a database somewhere or an online resource, or where is this information? And I found out that it doesn't exist, not in a compiled format somewhere for someone. So that's, again, when I started talking to a lot of the leaders. I developed a team, sort of a board, and that's when First 500 was born.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect. We could not do this without them. RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Are you ready for a summer trip to New York City? Well, RCAT is headed to New York, to the Big Apple, for the AIA Conference on Architecture this June, just a few weeks away. If you're headed there, if you're going to the Conference on Architecture, come visit the Big Red A at booth 707. Tell them that you are an Entree Architect and that you wanted to say hello. Booth 707 on June 21st and June 22nd at the Javits Center at the AIA Conference in Architecture. They will be there every morning serving coffee. I am there. They're serving coffee every morning. So where else do you want to go? Just go to RCAT. And throughout the day, they will be having their BIM expert, Robert Wagon, explaining their new Revit plugin, BIMINITE. Okay? Revit plugin, BIMINITE. Robert's going to be there explaining all about it. Go check them out. Stop by booth 707 anytime throughout the conference to learn how RCAT.com can save you time and money finding all the product information for your projects. And yes, it's all completely free. Remember, just look for the Big Red A. Just look across the expo floor and you will see it. Trust me, you won't miss it. Check out the Big Red A. And to learn more about RCAT and how they can help you be more effective and more efficient as a small firm architect, visit them right now at entrearchitect.com/RCAT. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. And getting started with FreshBooks is ridiculously easy. Most people send their first invoice seconds after starting their free trial. I did exactly that. The same goes for tracking time, managing expenses, collaborating with contractors, and viewing financial reports. It's fast, it's easy, it's life-changing. And if you need help at any time, their free award-winning customer service is just a phone call or an email away. And if you ever have a second thought, don't worry. On top of your free trial, for Entree Architect listeners, you get a free 30-day money-back guarantee. So you don't ever have to worry about choosing FreshBooks. You can give it a try for 30 days. Just visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks and then let them know that we sent you by sharing Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. Check them out to access your free unlimited 30-day trial. Payroll and benefits. I'm just going to let that soak in a little bit. Payroll and benefits, that makes my spine tingle. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business like us. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations, and the old school payroll providers, they just don't get it. They aren't built for the way that we work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for you to get it right. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great service for your team. And to help support the Entree Architect podcast, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited-time deal. Listen up. Sign up today, and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto. Go check them out at entrearchitect.com/gusto and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing. RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Before we get into First 500, talk a little bit more about NOMA. What their mission is and how that works. And then let's talk about First 500, just for people who don't know.
Absolutely. So NOMA is the National Organization of Minority Architects. We have chapters in lots of big city states. And our mission is to increase diversity in architecture. And that's at all levels. So we have the project pipeline, which you mentioned before in my bio. It's a camp. It started out as a camp, but it spread to sort of a mentor-menteeship program for students of all ages in elementary and high school. So that sort of leads at our local INOMA level. We have that camp for junior high. It leads those children into the ACE program, which is late high school. We've introduced a design build series. So we're sort of stepping down into the youth and sort of introducing them to the ACE industry, because a lot of those students, like me, had no idea what an architect was, you know, in elementary school. So we're changing that slowly and getting into those areas where it's just not talked about and it's not introduced at an early age. So that's sort of at a youth level. We also offer resources for people like myself who are working professionals who aren't licensed yet. So we have access to resources. I actually have a NOMA mentor, Thomas Allen, who is incredible. He helps guide me. And so you can create those relationships, that those lifelong relationships that obviously last a lifetime. And then also moving up into leadership, which now you also mentioned, I'm the National Public Relations Chair. So just promoting our mission, promoting our message, connecting with AIA and other big entities and CARB in the industry to promote our mission, which is increasing diversity in architecture.
How long has NOMA been around? When did it start? Approximately.
That's a good question. I don't have that exact date.
That's all right. We'll put it in the show notes. We'll find out and put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So NOMA's actually one other question about NOMA, because you said that you're going down into the elementary schools and you're in the profession, is there also a component that's helping students at the art, at the college level, where you
yes.
where you hit those barriers, where those challenges sort of were first introduced to you? Is there support
yes.
and resources for you there as well?
Yes, and thank you for asking that, Mark, because I totally skipped over our NOMUS chapters, which is the National Organization of Minority Architecture Students. And those, again, exist at the collegiate level, and they are able to be supported by their local state chapters. So like iNOMA, we have 5 NOMUS chapters at the different universities throughout Illinois, and we serve as their support system. We serve as mentors to them. We invite them to different events. They get to volunteer. They get to intern, have internship opportunities with us, and have a better reach into the professional industry before they enter.
Yeah. I love the and no mas. No,
yes.
No more. We're not going to do that anymore. I love that. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's NOMA. So let's get back to First 500. So you're inspired. You did this research. You're inspired that the information is there, but the information that you want to compile, there's no composition, compilation of all of this information, of all the data resources that we have on the internet. There's no data resource for this specific group.
Right. So that was the consensus from all of my digging and speaking with some of the other leaders. I was like, is this even a good idea? Would people be interested in this? Is this a need? And everyone across the board was yes. And, unanimously, yes, yes, please do it. We would support you. Our organizations will support you. Please do it. And so that was sort of my boost to get it started.
So what's the mission? What is it at a basic level?
So it is to provide the information of all of the African-American licensed architects, to have it compiled in one location and have it readily available for people like me.
So you're going to have a database essentially online, and you're going to document every female architect from number one forever.
And, yes.
And then
yes.
you'll have a place that you'll be able to learn about them and learn their stories, learn their, contact information so they can reach out to them.
That's the idea. Yes. And the actual first 500 will become a publication at some point. We're not quite at 500 yet. So there's some time in there.
What number are we at?
We're at 426.
426. And do you know what the rate is? Do you know approximately when you'll hit 500?
It has increased. My prediction is 2020.
Not too far. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So
too far, but not too far.
Yes.
That should be today, but yeah.
So we do want a publication of the first 500, an actual physical reference that can go in all of the libraries. Architecture schools especially, but all of the public libraries out there.
And are you reaching out and actually two questions. One is, where are we now? What level are we? Because I know we're very early.
Yes.
And will this also tell their stories? Is it going to be sort of a storybook as well?
Okay, so I'll separate those two.
Yep,
so it's like the business side and then the meat and potatoes, right?
Okay, yeah.
So on the business side, we are developing the business plan right now. we have the mission, the vision, sort of the beginning of what we want this to be. We haven't sort of we're predicting that it does this, right? So it's going to exponentially take off and become more than just a publication, more than just an online database. So we're creating a business plan that supports that. And then from there, we're partnering with some of the organizations that have already expressed interest. So NCARB, AIA, AIA Chicago, National NOMA, iNOMA, those are some of the groups that have verbally expressed interest and we'll reconnect with once we have a business plan.
Are you starting this as a separate organization or is it going to be an initiative of NOMA?
it is not an organization. It's a research endeavor at this moment that will become a network, and it is separate from NOMA at this time. So,
right. So it's your personal project with lots of support. Is where you are at this point. Okay,
yes.
Good. Okay.
I just want to say thank you to a lot of the supporters out there, because the support has been overwhelming, and it is driving me to keep going. One person in particular I want to talk about is Catherine Baker. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've met her, but she's the board president of the AIA Chicago chapter. And she has spread the word so much since I've talked to her. And her quote, which I love to talk about this, is, "We have sent from Earth 536 people from 38 countries to outer space. So more people have been in space than there is licensed African-American women architects."
Yeah, that basically proves the point.
Yeah, so that's Catherine really puts it into perspective. But yes, so that's the business side, partnering, figuring out how we can get these organizations involved. The support, like I said, has been tremendous and awesome. On the meat and potatoes side, there are phases that we're introducing. So basically, contacting these women is the first phase, whether that's through so far. It's been through LinkedIn. It's been through word of mouth. It's been through the NOMA network. Contacting them, introducing the project, getting their thoughts and feelings on it. And then is the compilation piece. So data collection of basically they receive a questionnaire that's the same for each individual. And that's sort of the resume page that will be introduced in the publication. From there, it would lead us to have a private interview with them, and it will be just a series of more personal questions, their thoughts about the industry, what advice do they have to young girls that are coming into or interested in the industry after them, who are their favorite architects, what inspired them to keep going when the going got tough, you know, those sorts of questions, which is the interview side, the more personal side. From there, we sort of develop a personal piece for each lady. So it'll be their resume page, a photo, their bio, and then interview highlights would be introduced for each lady in the publication.
Have you started that process yet?
We have. So
because
phase one and two.
Because we had Danny Cicero on. Actually, a few months back, and I know that she's number 333, I think, if I remember correctly. And so is that where she knows that number from?
A lot of them actually know their number.
They just know their number. Okay.
You know your number.
Because it's important.
Yes.
Got it. Yes. Okay.
And I realized that early on, too. And just...
So what number are you?
I am... hopefully 500
that's right.
480. Yeah.
So you're not right. You're not registered yet. So you're not counted yet.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. You will be number 500.
I like your optimism, Mark. But yes. So, some other supporters, Dina Griffin is one of my idols. My goodness. Brian Hudson, I mentioned earlier, is the National NOMA president. He has been astronomical in pushing this forward and making sure that this project continues. But yes, we're excited.
You said that it's sort of going to become more than just a database. You say it's going to hopefully become a publication.
Yes.
How do you imagine that publication? Is that more of a reference book or more of a, how does that look?
Yes. I see it being comparatively to, there's some doctor books out there that lists, the first however many doctors to become surgeons, or, mm-hmm. you know, I see it sort of being a reference that's going to exist, and it'll probably have multiple volumes because there's 500 to include. But from there, when I mentioned earlier that we sort of see this skyrocketing and going in many different directions, you know, some of the things I've visualized lately with the team has been, you know, some sort of video series to introduce some, you know, maybe an installation, rotating exhibits in museums, or some, or first 500 horror museum one day. So it's in the beginning phases, and we're excited for it to take off. And more importantly, at the end of the day, the purpose and reason behind it all is to increase our numbers, increase our women in architecture, and for them to feel comfortable. You know, there's going to be so many times where they're the first to do something. I've noticed that in a lot of the information I've collected so far from ladies, you know, first to become licensed in their state, first to be first Black female at their architecture school to graduate, you know, first on their board somewhere. So you're going to be the first. Accept it, embrace it, and use us as your backbone. Use us as your resource is sort of the purpose and mission behind it all.
Yeah. It's so exciting to see what you're doing, the passion that you have for it. I'm excited to watch it grow. I could, you know, I my mind is starting to sort of turn and see what it could become, because, you know, I love the idea of a book, and I love that it becomes a reference book and it has all that data in it. But I would love to see like some big, beautiful photographs of these women, and, you know, full color, and tell their stories about how they got to where they are and the challenges that they faced, and the things that they're doing and they're achieving today. It'll be awesome. It'll be so inspiring for not only young women, Black women who want to become our architects, but I think everybody. I think it'll be an inspirational book to hear that. And I love the idea of a video series. Even a YouTube channel would be very cool to sort of be able to subscribe to a YouTube channel, maybe once a week or once a month, hear the story of these people. Because they, you know, your story is fascinating. I think, you know, all their stories would be fascinating.
Absolutely. I get inspired every time I talk to one of them. A lot of them have started their own research endeavors. A lot of them are focused on sort of collecting our history and retaining it, getting us more, I guess, collected together as a whole is another thing. So we're in the beginning phases, and we're super excited. Something else I wanted to talk about, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. That's why we're here.
Our National NOMA Conference is being hosted this year in Chicago. That is definitely a place where I'm going to get to meet a lot of these ladies in person. So I'm super excited about that. And hopefully you can come, Mark.
What are the dates?
It's going to be October 17th through the 20th. It's going to be here in the Palmer House Hotel, which is in the middle of downtown. And our conference is really cool because it's the first of its time. Of its kind, concept wise. Yep. It's a conference without boundaries. So NOMA Unbounded is the conference. And you're not going to be in the Palmer House Hotel every day during sessions. You're going to be out going to different architecture firms, out seeing the Chicago architecture. It's going to be very interactive with Chicago as a city. So,
I would love to do that. I love Chicago. I've been there a couple of times. I would love to come. So, I'll have to definitely look into that. I would love to be there. So, let's see what happens. How else can we help? You know, so we have about 2,000 downloads per episode. How can those 2,000 people help you?
If you know an African-American female licensed architect, please, please give them the information about the show, about this episode, about Mark's show in general, and my contact information. So we can get in touch with them.
What's the best way to do that? Email?
Yes, email would be the best way. tlhughes00@gmail.com. Mark will share that with you guys. And again, give them my contact information, tell them a little bit about the project, and keep them connected with all of us.
Okay, so that's it. So it's tlhughes00@gmail.com. We'll have that in the show notes as well. This is episode 222. So you go to entrearchitect.com/episode222, and you'll have that email, and we'll have a bunch of other information on there as well. Everything we talked about will be there. Tiara, before we wrap up here, first of all, is there anything else that you want to share? Or are we...
No.
Okay. Let's get into my final question.
Okay.
You've listened to the show. You know what that question is. What is the one thing that small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
That's a great question. I would say invest in the minority youth of our industry, whether it's hiring them directly with mentorship opportunities included or contributing to NOMA at the local and national levels. This, I believe, creates a better industry, not just a better business.
That's an awesome answer. I love that. Excellent. So
thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. On the web, it's if you want to learn more about NOMA, it's noma.net. So NOMA.net. The directory of African American architects that Tiara mentioned is Black Arch, so blackarch.uc.edu. So blackarch.uc.edu is the directory of African American architects. And you can connect on Facebook and LinkedIn and a bunch of other social medias, Tiara Hughes, to search for her. We'll have links to all of that on the show notes as well. And the email again is tlhughes00@gmail.com. And I just want to say one more thing before we wrap up here. Imani Dixon was the one that connected us. So I just wanted to say, oh, hey, Imani.
Oh, hey, Imani
is her Twitter handle. Imani, thank you very much for connecting Tiara and I. This has been a really interesting conversation. I think we have a new friend. And so whatever we can do here at Entree Architect, Tiara, please let me know. And we will continue to help spread the word about First 500. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're doing, for the leadership that you're taking. And thank you for being here and sharing your knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark. This was awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I am so inspired by what Tiara is doing. If you like this episode, I want you to share it. I want you to go share this with everybody you know. This is entrearchitect.com/episode222. 222. entrearchitect.com/222. Go share this episode with a friend right now. Tweet it out. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Instagram. Send it out in an email. Tap your friend on the shoulder and let them know that this episode is one that you should be listening to. entrearchitect.com/episode222 with Tiara Hughes and the First 500 Project. I love this. Go share it right now. And go check out my friends over at ArcaSpeak and Inside the Firm, two fantastic podcasts. If you like Entree Architect Podcast, you will love ArcaSpeak Podcast and Inside the Firm Podcast, two other great architecture-based podcasts. ArcaSpeak talks about the big picture of architecture and how to live your life as an architect. And Inside the Firm is literally that. They bring you inside their firm. It's like an office meeting that you're listening in on as they build their small firm. So go check them out. ArcaSpeak Podcast and Inside the Firm Podcast. Go subscribe to those two shows right now. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Entree Architect Podcast too. If you're not already subscribed, push that little button that says subscribe and make sure you get every episode of Entree Architect Podcast on your mobile device. Or you can go check it out right there at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've ever done, all 222 of them, are there waiting for you. entrearchitect.com/podcast will get you there.
and entrearchitect.com/free course will get you a free course about how to be a profitable architecture firm. It will show you how to put all your financials together, how you put together a profitable architecture firm. It's a free course that we give away, entrearchitect.com/free course. Go download that right now. That is the first step in being successful in architecture, being profitable. If you're not profitable, you can't create amazing architecture. It's profit, then art. That's the order it needs to go in. You need to build a thriving, healthy business, and then you'll have all the time and all the money and all the resources that you need to be the great architect that you want to be, to design the fantastic art that you strive to design as an architect. So go do it. Go subscribe right now. Go download entrearchitect.com/free course. You will not regret it. And then email me or tweet me or hit me on Facebook and let me know what you think about it. entrearchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entre Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.